At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, so Lombardi Line, as we welcome you in on a Friday, we'll get to Lombardi's lines coming up here in about 8 minutes. Excited to get no John Oates plays on a Friday here, Michael Lombardi.
You got to get involved
in all six games.
I mean, but look, breaking news. I mean, Circa went to -5. 110 on the Patriot game. Buffalo -5.
Okay, so they're up to 5. Everybody else, it's interesting too, because everybody else, Buffalo 4.5 with 110 juice. So Circa taking a stance here by jumping up to 5 off the 4.5. It was 4 opener, 4 a key number, 4.5, 5 not necessarily as much, but yes, we have gone to 5 there. A couple of things I wanted to, and then we'll get into Philly and Tampa Bay, which surprisingly split over at BetMGM as far as the tickets and the money. I'll get to those in just a second. We don't have to get into this in depth, but just overall with the eight now coaching openings, are you hearing anything new today?
Nothing really. No, I mean, you know, the thing about this cycle, is it's all Zoom calls. It's all Zoom calls. And so you can be doing a bunch of interviews. You never leave your couch. You never leave your house. And so there's probably a lot more people that are getting in the process that perhaps wouldn't have been in the process before. Because before COVID, you had to fly the person in, pick them up at the airport, you know, spend time, you know. This was like it had to be all kind of staggered around. Now you just jump on a Zoom call. So I don't anticipate. I do hear the one thing I did hear was I think we're closer to a decision in Jacksonville. I think, you know, Bill O'Brien interviewed there the other day. I think it's O'Brien. I keep hearing Doug Peterson's name there. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think they have concluded their search in Jacksonville, and I wouldn't be surprised maybe by early next week if they have a decision.
Wow. So it most likely comes down to O'Brien. O'Brien seems to be the leader in the clubhouse. He sees 2-1. Leftwich, who interviewed earlier, 3-1. Shout to Jim Caldwell, 6-1. Peterson down 7-1. There might be some value there if he's one of the, about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some apprehension about O'Brien, you know, coming in. Is he going to be, you know, the organization, I think, is worried about his volatility, but remember, O'Brien won as a coach.
Yes.
I mean, I think there's some of that. There's concern about Peterson. Can he come in and fix the quarterback without some of the others? So I think there's still up in the air. I don't think there's been a decision rendered yet. And typically, you know, what the NFL wants to do is they want to postpone any of these decisions until after the games are over, which would be Tuesday morning. So we shall see. I mean, I think the only one that I keep hearing that the momentum growing and growing is that Dan Quinn is going to be the guy in Denver.
Wow. Okay, so Quinn, yeah, that one. And ownership change happening there, but they're going to Patton, who's the general manager. And Patton did not hire Fangio, right? No, Patton just got there.
No.
So this is a new clean slate for him. The question I had for you about Jacksonville, when I think Balke, I think San Francisco. I kind of missed, what was his connection to Jacksonville and getting that job?
He worked in the league office. And so when David Caldwell was looking for an assistant, you know, the league office, who's I'm sure the Kahn family relies on for information, and they brought him down there. And then when they fired Caldwell, they promoted Balke into that job. Balke went left the 49ers, went back to worked in the league office.
Gotcha.
And that's usually how most guys end up getting back into jobs, because the league office has a direct line to the owners, and that's usually what transpires.
Yeah, you know, it's weird with O'Brien, if it just came down to coaching merit, he'd be getting a job in 2 seconds. I think it's the way it ended in Houston with some petulance, I guess. It didn't necessarily handle himself or comport himself the right way with the decisions on the way out.
I'm shocked that he would jump back into the league in Jacksonville with Balke, especially considering how he's had a hard time with personnel. You know, Billy's a rank and file guy. He's going to do what he's told. I'm not saying he's going to be quiet about it, but I just think that dynamic wouldn't be the best situation for him. But I think Balke wants it, because I think it saves Balke. If they go in the Peterson direction, I don't know what that means for Balke. There is some apprehension by coaches about him being down there, and certainly the effect of what he has had on coaches that have been there and then gone in his career. So, you know, there is still some conversation that maybe he's not safe, you know, throughout the league. But I don't think so. I think that the Kahn family is going to rely on the league office, and I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day it ends up being Peterson. Because I think if you're Billy O'Brien, why not go back to Alabama, coach the quarterback who's the Heisman Trophy winner?
That's right.
What bothers me the most about the Billy O'Brien rumors to Jacksonville is he worked every day since last March next to Doug Marrone, the former head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's true.
Like, those conversations had to happen, right? Like, would you go there? Would you go there? Like, and those aren't the ones we get in the media. Those are more honest and forthcoming. So I have a hard time seeing that. I would have a hard time.
Marrone and O'Brien together, you got to hide the kids. I mean, you just can't have the kids listening to Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien having a conversation. That would just be X-rated.
Yeah, I would think it would be like, I could hear it. Are you crazy? Are you going to go down there? I mean, why would you do that? You know, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with that. That to me is what I can't get over. You know, I can't get over that.
Yeah. Last thing Doug Marrone said is good effing luck. I'll move on, but the Broncos, like you said, Quinn does just, there's a lot of momentum there. O'Brien, Peterson, potentially Jacksonville. It does feel like Chicago is lining up for Flores.
Well, he's interviewing there today. And, you know, Zoom call today, not there. He's interviewing on a Zoom call today. I don't know. I mean, I hear so many different conflicting reports out of Chicago. One, they want to hire a president/GM to run the whole team. Now they're interviewing coaches before they get there. They have GM interviews scheduled well into next week. I don't know how many coaches. They've interviewed Peterson. Now they're going to interview Flores. You know, my sense of it is I think that there's a lot of these guys that are up for GM jobs that are talking to Flores about the potential of working together with him, because I think he is going to be a strong, viable candidate at a lot of these jobs, whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Bears. I don't know what they're doing in Minnesota. I keep hearing Minnesota wants to become an analytical-based organization. They want to hire somebody from that Cleveland analytics, just kind of purely look at numbers. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I hear.
Who was a great interview? Just give me a name that just really, whether it's preparedness, just the way they presented themselves.
I'll give you two. The two best interviews that I've had were Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with McDaniels. What about McDaniels was specific as far as impressiveness?
Everything. From everything in the organization, every detail, every decision. You know, in my book, Gridiron Genius, I think I have 5 pages of what to ask a head coach. He could answer every single one of them in detail with specifics. Kyle, on the other hand, that interview was for an offensive coordinator position. So Kyle was very detailed and specific about what everybody did on every single play within his offense and understanding what the defense does. That's the critical component of being an offensive coach. Offensive coaches are really good. I mean, think about this. I wrote this morning. Tom Landry was the defensive coordinator of the New York Football Giants. When he became the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he installed the flex defense, you know, but he ended up running the offense, called all the plays, because he had such incredible knowledge of the defense and the defensive adjustments to their calls. That's what makes a great offensive coordinator. Somebody who can see, okay, if I do this, the defense is going to check into that, and then we're going to run this. That's what McDaniels does. That's what Shanahan does. But, you know, now Belichick, when we interviewed him, I wasn't a part of that interview. That was Art Modell or Ernie Accorsi. They did it out at Wade Hill and at Art Modell's house, so I didn't hear him. But from the first day he walked in the building, the interview probably was very similar to what McDaniels would have done. Every detail. They were head coaching interviews. They weren't just offensive coordinator interview.
Conversely, you don't have to give a name. Somebody's coming to your mind right now for a bad interview. What was it about not necessarily bad, but a less impressive interviewees that stands out? Because we've heard Bieniemy, not to be fair, that it's just not necessarily a great interviewer. Maybe he's a great coach, and others have been called not great interviews. What stands out as far as, is it lack of preparedness?
Preparedness and being able to explain that they even have a plan.
Hmm.
You know, most of them don't even have a plan. Most of them just come in there and say, well, you know, this is what we did. And they describe, it's a remember when conversation, which, as we know from The Sopranos, is the lowest form of conversation you could have. Oh, we did this, we did this, we did that. No, no, no. Who are you? That's what you have to answer. Who are you? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? What's the offense going to look like? What's the defense going to look like? What's the special teams going to look like?
Love it. Love it. But McDaniels doesn't – you're just not hearing McDaniels. Look, I'm looking at the odds for Minnesota. His name's not even on the page.
Look, McDaniels is – the reason he didn't get the Philly job is he wasn't – at Philly, he would have been able – he would have taken over the organization. And in Philadelphia, they want the organization to run the head coach. That's just a preference. That doesn't make the Eagles right and the Patriots wrong. That's just the way it is. McDaniels is as good a coach as you're going to be around. I mean, however, the Denver scars –
yeah.
The Patriots' failures of prior coaches, all those things kind of combined to make him not as an attractive candidate. Now, if he's with the right general manager, I mean, I think he can do great.
Tremendous information there on the coaching hires. Loved it. Okay, when we come back, got six games this weekend, of course, and into Monday. What are Lombardi's lines juxtaposed to the market? We'll find out next here, Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, it's big game, big dance. So why don't you combine college hoops and the NFL? So football, now through April 5th, 2022. This is a pretty good deal. $69, you get everything. Big game betting guide. You know what the big game is. I don't have to tell you. College hoops betting guide, daily best bets, come to your email inbox. You get everything we offer, 24/7 video access, betting splits, breakdowns on every game. It's all for, think about that. You go through April for $69. VSiN.com/big deal. It's VSiN.com/big deal. So John Oates is going to take a break because, no offense to the crooner, Mr. Oates, Michael Lombardi, but these can't go for that. We're going to go for every game this weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, don't you have to? I mean, they're evenly, you know, the lines have been set. There's no unpredictable. I mean, look, we know the Raiders are unpredictable, but, you know, and they have had the up and down season, but there's really no game you want to throw out. I'm not saying you should bet all the games. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that find one that you feel comfortable in, find one that you feel like fits and the matchup favors you, and perhaps you can find a little bit of the variance in the number. I mean, you know, and we're going to talk about my numbers here, but I mean, like, you know, as this line goes up to, it's now 5 in New England, 5 at Buffalo, you know, that's probably, other than the Kansas City Pittsburgh number on my board, this offers the second biggest variation.
Okay, let's get to it. So, again, what we're doing here is trying to find that wiggle. Michael Lombardi has his system. He comes up with his numbers. The market has theirs. So let's compare. Cincinnati opened 6, down to 5.5. So right now Cincinnati hosting Vegas, 5.5. What is the Lombardi line?
You know, I had this game at 5125. So that's a 0.76 variable on a 49 total. You know, which means if I did just play strictly numbers, and remember, I think anybody who has algorithms in running data for a contest or for just the betting in general, you know, you need to be able to have a little bit of understanding of what's actually going on in the game. I mean, you don't want to bet something that you think the quarterback's not going to play and all that. So this number would lend itself to Las Vegas. If I felt like if I wanted to wait for the number to come a little lower, you know, down, because I know the line is 5.12, and if it was able to come down, I would play Cincinnati. I feel more comfortable playing Cincinnati than I do Vegas. So for me, because it's such a tight wiggle room, it could be, you know, maybe just stay away from it for the moment.
Okay. Next one up, we're just going to go in order here, New England, Buffalo. Michael mentioned Circa went to 5. Most everybody else is Buffalo laying 4.5. What is the Lombardi line here in Buffalo?
I had it at 3.5. just slightly above a field goal. And now it's moving away. The money's moving there. So it would be an automatic play for New England to take the 5. And I think that, you know, that's a lot considering that the score was 33-21 in the last game. Not as close as the score, but not as close as, but not, they scored on the last drive of the game. Buffalo never punted. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think this is a pretty attractive number to take New England above you get more than a field goal. You know, you could tease this number up too if you wanted to go with it now that it's at 5,
there you
and
go.
You know, and get Buffalo and lay and you know, and get New England and lay and get 6, get 11 with New England, or you could tease it down to, you know, now you're in a position to tease it down where you got Buffalo and getting points.
Yeah, it's well put. If you're taking New England up to that 11, you're going through 6, you're going through 7, you're going through 10. That's valuable. Next one, and we're going to talk about this to end the show, but let's get into Philly and Tampa. So 8.5, it's 8.5 everywhere, Mike. You see Circa went down to 8, so DraftKings went to 8. But where is the Lombardi line in Tampa?
806, right there at the
right
number.
Right there.
You know, so 0.12 on the wiggle room, and that's on a 49.5 total. So, you know, you have to put the totals in to give you the variance, right? You have to have the totals to be part of the variance. So for me, this is, you know, it's pretty even. It's right there on the number. I could go either way, lean Tampa here. I do think Philly, I think Wes put it well. I mean, really, when you break Philly down, I mean, we saw them struggle against Garrett Gilbert in a replacement game in the COVID game. I mean, that was a closer game. That they won, what, 20-10 or something like that. But then, you know, we saw them lose to the Giants 13-7. You know, the Jets game was closer than the actual score came out to be. You know, that was the Minshew game where he came back and threw the ball effectively. So, I mean, look, the Eagles are healthy. They're better. They didn't have Lane Johnson the first game. They're a different team. But I do think it's hard to knock out a champion. I think it's hard to knock out a champion. And I think this will be a challenge for the Eagles.
If Eagles fans are grasping, I guess the one thing they're grasping at is Tampa's banged up right now. They could have used a bye, put it that way.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, and look, the Eagles are going to say to themselves, look, we are the number one rushing team in the league. We're fourth in yards per average, right? And so if we can run the football and we can eat that clock up and we can keep Brady off the field and we can make them struggle, we have a chance. But they're 32nd in the most in passes attempted. I mean, the Ravens attempted more passes with Lamar Jackson than they have. That being said, you know, they know they can't play from behind. Now, the question really becomes, can this defense do well enough to keep them in the game? Can they play? Can Steven Nelson get in a man-to-man game? Can Brady, you know, who's covering Gronk? Who's winning the middle of the field? These are all tough questions that I think the Eagles defense has to answer. And you know, and I'm not sure they can, because when you watch the Eagles defense, you know, I mean, they gave up, throw the Dallas game out. But the Washington football team in that 20-16 game, Washington's throwing the ball in the end zone. They threw for 218 with Tyler Haneke. Threw for 218. Now, they beat the Giants. They only threw for 108. But who are the Giants playing? You know, I mean, the last good team they faced was the Chargers back in week 9, and the Chargers threw for 356. They haven't really played I mean, they played the Saints.
They were 0-6 against playoff teams.
I mean, they were, you know, and so it's – I just think, to me, there's a separate – I lean towards taking Tampa and lay the 8 here.
And, again, your number, just to clarify, was what on this one?
8.
Okay.
806.
So right on the number. Next one up, San Francisco-Dallas. It is 3. Again, the juice looks like it's headed to 3.5. Right now it's 3. What's the Lombardi line?
325, right there on it, which I think it's going to lean. It'll go up to 3.5. You know, I'm back and forth on this game. If there was a John Oates play in this week, this might be the game for me. Only because I see Dallas winning, and I have a real clear picture in my head on how they're going to win. Dak's going to throw the ball against a bad secondary. They're going to be able to get the lead and force Garoppolo to have to play from behind. And then I see it the other way, where Kyle runs the ball. He's in second and short. He controls the clock. And, you know, the Cowboys only have the ball for, you know, 24 minutes of the total game, and the 49ers win. So I can see both of them going back and forth, you know. And, you know, this line, did it open at 4.5, Patrick?
This one opened. I mean, it varies. I have the opener close to 3.5, 3-ish. So, no, I didn't have as steep as you just said.
Yeah, I didn't either. And there's some people said there's 4.5. I never saw that. So
me neither.
That's why I asked the question. But to me, this is a little bit of a hard game for me, because I could see both teams playing from both sides. I think at the end of the day, the Dallas front is going to create some problems for this for the offensive line of the 49ers. This is going to be one of the best defensive fronts they faced.
Yeah.
The Dallas front, you know, and Tennessee's front gave them a little bit of trouble, but this one's really good.
So Kansas City open 13. I think there's a little surprise here. It's down to 12.5 with Pittsburgh in town. Where's the Lombardi line?
I have it at 7-1-8, and I don't know if I would touch it. You know, I think, again, I'm going to double down on Kansas City. I think I would lean more to whatever the first half line is. It was Kansas City favorite in the first half.
Yeah, I'll give you the number right here. Just give me a second. First half, generally, we're not cutting it in half like we used to. You'd think 6.5. Let's go half on Kansas City, Michael. It is Steelers-Chiefs. The number 23.5 for the total. And the number in the first half, pardon me, my app is acting up. Number in the first half is 7.
Yeah, I thought it would be right there. That's kind of what I thought, touchdown. You know, I mean, I just think it's going to be hard for the Steelers to move the ball. I mean, Juju Schuster comes back. That's great. Who's getting them the football? I think the Chiefs have played poor on defense the last 2 weeks. There's no denying it. Teams have run the ball. Najee Harris is going to have to run the ball, but that offensive line, bad lines don't travel. This is the worst offensive line, including the Bengals' offensive line, but the Bengals are playing home. This is the worst line traveling. This is the worst visiting offensive line that's going on the road.
Yeah.
You know, the Vegas team is not a good offensive line either. When they struggle, it's because they struggle with pass protection. New England's got a really good offensive line when they play at full, when they play. Isaiah Wynn won't play at left tackle, so that's a concern there. Philadelphia's a good offensive line. San Francisco, mediocre, and Arizona's not very good, but they're all better than Pittsburgh.
Those are five of the six. For the sixth, you got to wait 17 minutes. We're going to get to Arizona and Los Angeles. What is Michael Lombardi's line there? We'll find out next. Josh is going to join us, and we'll transition back to Lombardi's lines here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits and all the data. So this new feature gives you insights on where the money and the bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see what the public is betting. We've been talking about the splits all day. Those of you that are still wondering, you can find them over at VSiN.com. Again, number of tickets, where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for Moneyline, over under, against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Lombardi Line here on, as the aforementioned, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. We welcome in Josh Applebaum. Market Insights is the podcast. VSiN.com/podcast, betting across America with Pritch every day as well. We'll get a little market update here with Josh. Hi, Josh. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Patrick. Hey, Michael. Doing great. Excited for this upcoming weekend here, one of the best weekends of the year. And really going into it, just some updated numbers on dogs. We've been talking quite a bit about how dogs tend to do well in the playoffs. Obviously, tight numbers. And these dogs aren't regular dogs. They're playoff dogs who, you know, had to, you know, win a bunch of games to get to this point here. So if you look at dogs in the regular season the last decade, 51.4% against the spread. Nothing crazy, not profitable either because you got to lay the juice, but better than favorites. You get into the postseason the last decade, dogs are 55% against the spread. So they jump up 3.6% from regular season to postseason. And wildcard weekend is the best weekend to target these dogs. They're 58% against the spread wildcard weekend the last decade. So I want to throw a couple numbers at Michael, just get some updates here. I think the biggest line move today, guys, is you're seeing buyback toward the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills opened at most shops, laying 4.5 against New England. The line got to 4. It pretty much sat at 4 for much of the week, or at least the last few days. But you heard rumors today about a syndicate. And what is a syndicate? It's a group of wise guys who kind of team up, work together, you know, pool their resources and get down big amounts on games. There's rumors of a syndicate who liked the Bills quite a bit at -4 this morning, hit the -4, and now move this line up to -4.5. So kind of that's what we're seeing here, some late movement toward Buffalo. What's notable to me, Michael, is the total as well. You know, a lot of these percentages you're looking at, quite a bit are on the under. You know, at BetMGM, you know, you're seeing a lot of bets who are just saying, hey, really cold game, you know, it's going to be bad conditions, take the under. So 60% of bets are on the under at BetMGM, yet the total rose 43-44. And if you look at cold weather games, they actually go over around 57%. So, Michael, any thoughts on this buyback to the Bills? Any reason for it? And then your take on this game. Do we get a higher scoring game or a lower scoring game?
You know, I think I'm surprised the number ticked up. I do think the ball, it's hard to kick field goals in this game. The ball doesn't travel as far. I think there'll be more fourth down attempts than typical because, you know, when you're in that gray area, do I kick it, do I not, you're probably better off going for it than you are kicking it because of the uncertainty of the wind, even though it says there's no wind, just how hard it is to kick a frozen ball. It's like kicking a cinder block. So, you know, I do think the Patriots have to be more aggressive offensively. I don't think they're going to go in there and just throw it 3 times. But, you know, I think the Bills have that ability that when they can play from in front, they become a dangerous team. And I think that's going to be really the first quarter is going to give us that. And, you know, for as I've said all week on the show, yes, I love Belichick, all the numbers about playoff, but not often when you look at those rookie quarterback numbers does this come true. It's really, to me, which is what I think is moving this number, people are playing against a rookie quarterback.
For us here at the network, this is the type of stuff that gets us excited. The next game is 49ers-Cowboys. I say that because you guys both see it. John Ewing's reporting 91% of the handle is on the 49ers, 71% of the bets MGM is taking on the Niners. Yet, Josh, we're seeing that number tick up potentially to 3.5 with the Cowboys. So there's something fishy going on here.
There is something fishy going on. So I think a couple of ways to look at it. On one hand, you know, the 49ers match a lot of these dog systems, you know, playoff dogs, wild card dogs. You look at dogs playing teams who missed the playoffs the previous year. Those do well around 60%. You know, Shanahan has a dog, a lot of good stuff there. But I'm personally waiting for the 49ers to get to 3.5, but I'm a little concerned. Maybe is this reminiscent of kind of that championship game with, you know, Alabama and Georgia, where that late movement went to Georgia. You're kind of seeing, is San Francisco a trendy dog? A lot of these numbers are showing that they're getting a majority of bets, yet this game was pretty much at -3 Dallas all week, and now it's ticking up to -3.5. It hasn't yet, but all these minus threes are juiced up -120. So I think the books, you know, San Francisco seems to be a trendy dog, which I don't want to be on, but the line's kind of going to Dallas, even though they don't want to go to the 3.5 here. So, Michael, any take on this? You know, is this a spot where Dallas is in a, you know, a contrarian spot at home, you know, with some late movement, or is it, hey, if you're getting the hook with San Francisco in this playoff spot, it's worthwhile, even if maybe it's a public play?
You know, to me, my handicap of this game goes, I go back and forth on this, forgetting where the line's moving. Is to me, it's about, can the 49ers play good enough pass defense? I mean, that's been their Achilles heel. They let Tennessee convert a bunch of third and longs when the game was on the line, even though Tennessee only threw for 188 yards in that game. But they really lost that Tennessee game on the road because they couldn't put pressure on Tannehill, and he made some incredible good throws on third down against man coverage and against zone. So to me, that third down sequence is the game that the Cowboys play, and I think they have a hard time. I think it's a hard matchup for the 49ers against the Cowboys offense. Conversely, if they're able to control the ball, the 49ers, and keep the Cowboys on the sideline because of their run game, it gives them a distinct advantage. But again, I'm nervous about the kicker in Dallas. I'm nervous about him making a clutch kick. But I do think that they are the better team. There's no doubt. And I think they should play. If they play their game, they will beat the 49ers.
Inflation's been a key word, Josh, in the public consciousness here in America. Well, inflation when it comes to the postseason and these numbers, the reason I bring it up is a lot of new bettors are going to get involved, and a lot of bettors that, you know, maybe kind of dabbled a little bit. Once the postseason starts, you're going to get a lot of people involved. That means maybe inflated numbers to the total and to the over, right? We just had Wes on, and Wes went three straight unders. He went Vegas under, he went Tampa under, and he went Kansas City under. Oftentimes, you're going to get an inflated number with these over-unders. Let's discuss that quickly here.
Yeah, great point by you, Patrick. So remember, this market is different from regular season. Obviously, NFL is the most popular sport by far, but it gets even bigger when you come to the playoffs because there's not 15 games to choose from. You know, you get two a day. They're all nationally televised with no competing games. So the public influx does create a lot of value to go the other way. One thing I've seen with dogs in particular is when you're a playoff dog and the line moves toward you, you do really well the last decade. You're up over 60%. But if you're a dog and the line goes away from you, that's typically a bad sign. Those teams are only around 50-50. So the ones that would match that line moving toward you would be Las Vegas Raiders. That really jumps out. A lot of those 6.5s are now down to 5.5. And you're kind of on the fence. Like, New England was a 4.5 down to 4, but now it's kind of a back toward the opener there. And in terms of the totals, guys, you're still seeing a lot of money on that Philly-Tampa Bay under. It's going to be rainy. You're going to have about 20 mile an hour winds. This was another weather-based play where that total was 49.5. Now it's down to 45.5. I thought maybe 46 was as low as it'll go. It's further dropping now. And also Wes's point with Vegas and Cincinnati. Early in the week, you had a lot of money on that over. It was around 48 up to around 49, 49.5. Now it's back down to 49 or 48.5. So I kind of lean dogs and unders in general with this influx of public money. But as always, you know, break down each game individually because there are different parameters in each game.
The, you know, it's interesting for Tampa Bay, Michael. We were just discussing, and Josh, just one second on this. So Rick Stroud, who covers the NFL, said Lavonte David is among the most questionable for Sunday's game.
Right.
And then Bruce Arians also said he's going to be a game time decision, but so will Leonard Fournette. You know, Fournette and Evans, they're dealing with these hamstrings. This is the Bucs are an interesting team, not just against the Eagles, but moving forward into the postseason and deeper because of
no
these
doubt,
reoccurring injuries.
No doubt. And Fournette went on IR for 3 weeks. So he was his ham was a lot worse than Evans's.
Right.
And, you know, and I think what Arian said today was if he can go, if they activate him and he plays on Sunday, then he's full go, no play count. You know, but if he can't, then that's a problem. And so now you don't have Ronald Jones. You don't have him. You know, there's depth of this team. Now, their offensive line's intact, which you got to be against Philly. Philly's not a big blitz team. So, you know, they're a zone man team, and Brady's going to figure it out. So, but if they play that cover two look, you want to be able to bang that runner in there like they did the first time they played them. That's why they were so effective in their execution. They had 65 rushes and completions the last time they played them because they were able to control both run and pass.
Josh, we'll get a college play on the way out. Quickly, are you dusting off the Brewski jersey for tomorrow night? First New England playoff game in the new crib. Are you getting situated there with New England catching 4.5?
Oh, I'm excited, Patrick. I can't wait for this game.
Do you have a jersey? What jersey do you own, Josh?
I got like 3 Brady jerseys. I have an Edelman jersey. I got a Dante Stallworth jersey because it was like 75% off. But, Patrick, I got to get my jerseys updated.
May I ask you a question? Once you had the 1 Brady jersey and you got the 2nd, what made you say, I think I'll get a 3rd?
Oh, well, we got to have different colors, the throwbacks. I mean, there's different options okay. here, Patrick. We got to rep our guy here,
fair,
you know?
Fair enough. It's going to be exciting. Now, on the way out, college hoops play for the audience here.
Yeah, just one that really caught my eye, St. Bonaventure. Really like the spot the Bonnies are in. This game actually opened St. Bonaventure laying 1.5, and the public is all over VCU. VCU has a great record. They've been playing awesome as of recently. But even though you're getting about 30 or almost 75% of bets on VCU, the St. Bonnies went from -1.5 all the way up to -2.5. So good line move in their favor. They're a better shooting team, 45% versus 43%. I'd be looking at the Bonnies on the money line. Looks like a fade the trendy dog, sharp reverse line move to St. Bonaventure.
St. Bonaventure. Josh, look in the mail over the next couple weeks. I'm going to send you a Detroit Lions Jared Goff jersey for your troubles, okay?
Oh, man. I don't know if I can wear that one in New England, Patrick.
You're going to wear it. You're going to like it, Applebaum. Coming up next, so the market says 4 in Los Angeles. What says Lombardi?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM's making this weekend's very easy. If you're a new bettor at BetMGM, you bet $10 on a wildcard weekend game. If any team scores a touchdown, regardless of the outcome, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets. You got to use the bonus code VSIN200. It's VSIN200 over at BetMGM.com or simply download the app. Again, you get M Life Rewards as well, so it's all inclusive. And for me, betting on the BetMGM app, what makes it so awesome is the interface is very easy to use. Sometimes when you're in-game betting, it can get a little sticky. Not with BetMGM. So make sure you check it out. VSIN200 is the code. If you have a gambling issue, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, Michael, we teased them. We're going to head back to. Oh, and then I want to ask you about Deebo Samuel and Cordarrelle Patterson. I wrote it in my notes to ask you. But just quickly, let's go back to Lombardi's lines. So we're looking for that wiggle. And okay, may I ask you, is Arizona, Los Angeles, is that the game you most look forward to this weekend? Like, how would you rank? Because it feels like that's the one that's the culmination, literally and figuratively, of what people want to see. Where would you put that matchup?
You know, I think all of them are great. I mean, the Kansas City Pittsburgh one, I'm a little apprehensive, as you know about.
Trash.
But I do like this one to end. I think the New England Buffalo game is perfect for a Saturday night because, like the Tuck game, when the NFL can get a setting around weather, and you know a night game on it just makes it a higher rating game. But you know, I obviously I'm in the Philadelphia area, so the Bucks Tampa Brady playing always makes it exciting. But no, this is going to be a great game. I think we're going to learn a lot about quarterbacks in this series, right? We're going to learn about how good is Kyler Murray? How good is Matthew Stafford? We know the perceptions of both players, but somebody's got to play really well to lead their team. you know, Josh Allen, we know he plays, when he plays well, the Bills will win. You know, when you know, we know that. We don't know enough about Mac Jones yet. We don't know enough about Jalen Hurts in these big moments. And I think over the landscape of the weekend, we're going to learn a lot about some of these young quarterbacks and can they take the next step moving forward as it goes along. And I think this Arizona Ram game is really, really an indicator of that. And then also when you extend it out, because if you're the Rams, you know, your whole season, you went basically, you put all your chips in the middle of the table. You got no draft picks. This is your team, right? Now, the cap's going to go up a little bit next year, and I'm sure you're going to maneuver around. But you didn't make that Stafford trade to lose in wild card weekend. You just didn't.
No.
There's, you know, and this is your moment. This is your moment. And this is where you need to be able to see, you know, if you can take your game another step forward and are you good enough as a team? And does this, you know, I did Danny and Grant yesterday in Washington and I said, you guys probably have to love the Rams because this is what this whole Ram program is. It goes back to the George Allen days when he was the head coach in Washington and the future is now. He monikered that statement, the future is now. And it was. They won in 71. They won in 72. And they won a bunch of games. And by 75, 76, it was over. You know, they had their run. They went to a Super Bowl, got beat 14-7 by the undefeated Miami Dolphins. And, you know, they never really appeared again. I mean, Allen had a 3-7, one-loss record in playoff games. So I think when you look at that, you just, you know, this is why this game carries so much significance for me and for everybody around the Rams.
If not now, when? I think is the way we.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little reminiscent, too. Let's go back last year. You know, Tampa Bay. You know, nobody was, you know, Brady didn't play all that great during the season, right? He didn't have a spectacular season last year. Home loss to New Orleans, home loss to the Rams, home loss to the Chiefs, right? All those games, right? There's some doubt. And had the Bucs not beaten Washington in that wild card game or New Orleans, the season would have, because you just signed a 43-year-old quarterback and you didn't win a Super Bowl. It seems worthless. And yet the Bucs were able to endure and build themselves up to the crescendo of beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl at their own stadium. So I think this Ram-Arizona game has that attached to it. It's got that cachet. And it's going to be significant. And, you know, that's got to be weighing in Sean McVay's mind and every decision he makes. We got to play this. How tight are we going to be? Because they can't miss the putt. They got to make every putt.
Well, 4 is the number based on the market. Let's get the Lombardi line. What's your official number here on Cards Rams?
I had it right at 325 again. You know, I have a 1.5 wiggle room on 49.5 as the total. So, you know, I think it favors to play. I'm getting almost a 3/4 of a point to take the Cardinals. You know, do I love it? I'm not in love with it. I'm worried about Kyler Murray. I think even Cliff Kingsbury said he's got to play great. I think there's a disconnect between Murray and his teammates. I really do. I don't see him as an endearing leader. I see him as an aloof guy. And this is no one's telling me this. This is just strictly my observation from watching players interact with one another. And I think he's going to have to raise his level of play, and Vance Joseph's going to have to play way better defense with his unit than he did the last time they faced each other in Arizona.
You said it best about Saturday night, too, where it's going to be great for all of us to get warm, have a cocktail while New England and Buffalo are playing in negative 20 degrees. That to me is what football is all about. They get out there and we just chill and stay warm. And that number, by the way, went to 5 over at Circa, as Michael mentioned earlier, everybody else 4.5, the total still 44 with New England and Buffalo. Wanted to ask you about Debo, who's become a difference maker. This transition from wide receiver, you saw it in Atlanta with Patterson as well. It's almost, I mean, we've seen it in the past. It's not unprecedented, but those are two standouts this year. I mean, Debo has been a complete difference maker at the position.
He's so versatile, and he's one of these guys. I mean, this tournament features players that are hard to tackle, right? They're hard to get on the ground. Josh Allen is really hard to get on the ground. Debo is hard to get on the ground. Kittle is hard to get on the ground. CeeDee Lamb's a hard guy to get on the ground. Now, he's not because of his power, but because of his quickness. Mm. You know, Gronk's hard to get on the ground. And whenever you can attach hard to get on the ground next to a player, that player is probably usually great, right? It's usually a great play. He's hard to get on the ground. Derrick Henry, hard to get on the ground. Great player. So that's where, to me, when I watch Debo, I marvel at him. Both Debo and A.J. Brown were at the Senior Bowl, and everybody had knocks on them because they weren't perfect. Brown couldn't run fast. Debo wasn't fast, maybe. But they play the game of football at a high, high level, and they're hard to get on the ground.
Yeah. As you said that, I was just all of a sudden thinking about, imagine the Patriot defenders with Allen full speed ahead in that cold this weekend. It's going to be – I mean, that's a big boy.
It's hard to tackle in cold weather, too. People don't realize it. It's really hard to tackle, and it becomes a problem. And you've got to do a really good job of corralling the football and building – and, you know, you can't just rush. The Patriots rush four on a key third down, and, you know, they got disrupted in their pass rush, and there was a huge gap in the B gap, and he took off for 28 yards and a first down. You know, you can't do that. You have to layer your rush. You've really got to coordinate the rush. I would be very disappointed if I didn't see the Patriots really choreograph their pass rush this week to get Allen to go in a direction and then have somebody reliable, that's a hard word to use, to tackle him and get him on the ground.
Have you spoken to Dominic about his thoughts on this matchup?
Well, he's working on his game plan now. His father's headed to the airport at 2:00. He's going to have to get it in. I'm sure of it. You know, but he'll figure something out. Look, it's going to be all right. He's got, you know, his bedtime's at 8:30. I don't know how he's going to make it. The game kicks at 8:15.
Just doing the math quickly. I don't think you're going to wrap it up in 15 minutes.
No, I don't think so. He's got to wake. You know, I can remember when I went to bed when the Frazier Ali fought. I had to wake up the next morning. I ran to my father, like, who won the fight? You know, and it was like, you know, you just didn't know.
Yeah.
Couldn't check your phone back then. You know, can't check your phone in the middle of the night.
No. Now at four, he doesn't have a cell phone, right? I mean, I don't know how this works.
Not yet, but I'm sure he probably has ways of communicating. I'm sure he's talking to his grandmother or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so there it is. It's just interesting. And remember, for new bettors, you're going to see voluminous. Like, the money, if you're not seeing many line movements here, we're seeing a half a point here, half a point there. Tomorrow is when it starts to get juicy because 90% of the money is going to come game day. So that Las Vegas, Cincinnati, New England, Buffalo, those numbers, we will see an adjustment tomorrow, Michael.
No doubt. And, you know, and that's what affects it. And so once somebody moves the number to five, does somebody come back and move it back down? You know, remember this. I think it's really important for us as a betting network and talking to people. There is sharp action on every side of every game. It's just not one-sided.
DraftKings just went to five in Cincinnati, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout to DraftKings. So that was a 6.5 opener. Cincinnati. Some books had it six with Cincinnati, but you're coming through that six, which is the key number. So the love for Las Vegas off that, it was such an exciting game. I think people are riding the emotion of that game. You know what I mean?
I thought the Chargers lost it. I'm not sure the Raiders won it. That's my opinion.
You won't text Brandon Staley and give us his opinion on the matchups to tomorrow. Text him. I dare you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see how many goes for it on fourth and one.
Were those
3 points important?
It feels like they might be important.
I don't know. Maybe they weren't. You know, I guess they weren't.
Playoffs start tomorrow, my man. We'll be ready. We'll be here.
I will be
early.
Ready, Patrick.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lombardi Line tomorrow morning right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up next, Mike and Amal with Odds On.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.